a patriarch before, Matt. I don't know what that means exactly. But as you know, a lot of the Sin Clan is here today, and they're going to be singing some this week and making some recordings. And then our family reunion is this next week, so we're looking forward to being with our family. It's good to have all of you here. Last week, let me make one other announcement. In case you didn't hear this, I mentioned to you several weeks ago that they were having a water crisis in India. The summers has already started, and they've had many people that have died because of the lack of water. And he sent in a request to IDES for a grant to build, to dig 12 wells. And so I sent that in. I didn't expect to hear from it for another 2 or 3 weeks. This past week, I got a note from IDES. They have approved his grant, and he's received enough money to dig 12 new water wells in places where they have to walk a long way or just not have any clean water. So we can thank the Lord for that and thank the guys at IDES. I hope that all of you have gotten some information about IDES. It's a great organization. And many of you may have gotten the news that the executive director of IDES had surgery this past week. And I just got word yesterday, I think Judy sent it out, that he had come through the surgery well. And so we're grateful for that. Last week, I cut my sermon short. I had 10 more points last week. So I decided to teach those 10 points this morning. And I'm going to try to get through it. Becky asked me, why did I have a slideshow every time I preach? And I say, well, if I follow the slideshow, we might get out before, 12:30 or so. So I'm going to try to follow the lesson that I put together. I may fall asleep during my sermon because I stayed up all night putting this together. So if I fall asleep, Matt, you just start number 517 or whatever it is and just leave me lying on the floor. The family of God, we've talked about ourselves in this way many times before. I'm not going to say anything that all of us don't know today, but this is just a reminder of what a family experience in the church is supposed to be. Because last week I talked about this, the responsibility of parents, how the parents are to teach their children. And we used Deuteronomy 6 as a text and went all the way through Deuteronomy 6 and talked about some of the things that parents are responsible for training their children. And I'll just read that, just a couple of verses from there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit at your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Moses was giving this challenge to the people just before they went into the land of Canaan and take over the land, and he had been giving them the land that they were to possess it, and they were to wipe out all the people in the place. Well, of course, we know that the people did not do this. But my challenge and our challenge to ourselves is that we listen to what Moses told God's people the words of God to teach our children. We have such a blessing here that we've got children, I started to say coming out of our ears, but we've got a bunch of kids here. And we hope there'll be more on the way. And we have a unique opportunity because we have people here. We have these resources here with our children to teach them what they need to know. Moses said, it's for you, for your sons, and for their sons. That's three generations. Three generations. And of course, that was supposed to just keep on going. It wasn't supposed to stop at three generations. But when you look around today, we see the world has had such an effect on Christian young people. And I'm not going to get into that today. But the family is a representative tool that God used, or simile to God used, to describe his people. He talks about the family as being the foundation, and that all things are built and form around the family. And he calls the church his family. It's his family. And today I wanted to look at some of the things that we see parents are to do in raising their children, raising their family, and how it relates to the church. We all realize how important a family is and how close they can be. We cry when they leave. Sometimes we cry when they come back, but most of the time we're happy to see them when they come back from college or come back to visit with us if they live a way off. And it's because of relationships that we have these feelings about family. What are some of the elements of the family that make the family work? First of all, in a family, we find expectations. In 1 Timothy 3:15, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There's a way that we are to act. There are some things that are expected of us as we are part of the church, as if we are part of this congregation of people. Jesus has given us many talents. We remember the story in Matthew 25 of the talents and how God expected different things from each one. He had an expectation from the person that he gave five talents to. He had different expectations, but he still had an expectation. And that's the way a family is. We look at our children and we have an expectation. Sometimes my parents were not very pleased with the way I met their expectation when I came home from school on report card day. I tried to hide my report card. They don't do like they do now. I think they send them out on internet or something. You can't hide them anymore. But my mama always knew when report card day was. My dad found out very soon after that, and we had a collision normally about my expectation level was not where it should be. There's an expectation level that we need to learn as a child in the family, that there are some people, some things that we're to do. He wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. We're to grow. He wants us to mature. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He tells us that we are to mature in the faith, that we're not to get to a certain level and stop. That's an expectation that God, our Father, has for us. God wants us to realize our potential. He wants us to do our best. That's what we expect of our children. That's what we warn our children to do. Live as much up to that expectation as possible. And that's the way it is in the church. We have so much talent here, and I'm so glad that most of us are using our talents. He doesn't want us to stop where we are. He wants us to fulfill our potential, our full potential. In a family, we learn about forgiveness. Jesus is willing to forgive everyone in the church, in his family. Anyone who repents and who turns to God, who turns to Jesus Christ, accepts what he did for us. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Jesus expects us to accept each other and forgive each other. If we harbor an unforgiving spirit, then God cannot and will not forgive us. In our families, we are to forgive each other. We're supposed to learn about forgiveness in our family. We know each other. We know the things that we're doing, that somebody else in our family is doing that's not right. But when they come and say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that," we forgive them. That's what they're supposed to learn. But that goes on into the church, into the family of God. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we learn to forgive in our families. In a family, there is encouragement. Jesus wants us to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, "Therefore comfort each other and edify," build up each other, "just as you also are doing." How can we encourage each other in the church, how in the family, in this family? By the proper words that we speak. Ephesians 4 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Sometimes we think that may be talking about cuss words or something like that. And it may be. But what he's talking about really is saying words to each other that are building them up, that cause them to want to make their life better, to do better things. He wants us to encourage each other to be together. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We want to be together. We want to be together because it is an encouragement to us to be together. What an encouragement it was for us to sing those songs a while ago of encouragement to one another. And cooperation. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." 1 Corinthians 3. Manifested love. "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because darkness has blinded his eyes." We need to learn in the family about love, because that's what the church is full of, or supposed to be full of. We're supposed to love each other. And we're supposed to help each other. And he says that if a brother doesn't love, he's in big trouble with God. In family, there's, let me say this. I didn't do this right. I should have put, there is supposed to be discipline. Being a school teacher, maybe some of you other school teachers may not agree with this, but kids are not like they used to be. They're not getting a lot of discipline, I'm afraid, in homes today. And I'm not talking about spankings. I'm talking about challenging them to live to a certain standard of behavior. God's family is a disciplined group. Hebrews 12, 7 and 8 is a difficult passage for us to read. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? What does that mean, chasten? Well, if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, and you are illegitimate and not sons. If we're a part of a family, we learn about chastening. We learn about being told or being described things that we aren't doing right. That's one reason we gather together. It's one reason we have a family. If we are not disciplined, then we are not God's children. Discipline helps us to become Christ-like people, equipped for kingdom works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our children need to learn this in the home, so when they spiritually grow and become a member of God's family, they will understand chastening. They will understand discipline. God expects us to live a certain way. And the way we live will either bring glory or dishonor to God. We are God's people. When we think back to the Old Testament, we know that Israel made God look pretty bad. And they continually turned their back on him. They continually rebelled against God. And all God wanted was for them to do what he said. And he said, I will bless you. We will either bring dishonor or honor to our family, to the family of God. Render therefore to all due, all their due. Taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no one anything except love, except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that's a part of being in God's family, that we learn to keep a standard of love. In a family, we have a support group. God wants his family to be sensitive to the needs and tragedies, accomplishments, and dreams of others. Paul tells us that if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We need to get along together. We need to feel each other's pain. We need to understand the problems that other people have, and we need to share those as best we can. Sometimes all we can do is pray for them. But we ought to be understanding of the needs that they have. We need to get together as a group. What a wonderful time it is every Sunday morning when we get together. We sing and we talk. And many of you will stay, even if I go way over time. You'll stay and talk for another 30 minutes after service is over. Because you love each other. And you want to find out what's going on in each other's lives. In a family, problems are worked out. We don't really have a lot of choice because we have to live with each other. Since the church is made up of people, problems are going to arise from time to time. You remember in Acts 6, there was a problem that was threatening to stop the growth of the church. The Hebrew widows were not being fed, were not being taken care of. They got together. They said, appoint these men, and they'll take care of you. They appointed these men. They took care of them. They went on about their work. In Acts 15, there were men who were teaching that circumcision was absolutely necessary to salvation. So they got all the group together and they had a big meeting. And they decided what the truth was. What was the real, this is what we're going to teach. And they solved the problem. God wants us to deal with problems in the church like that. In the family of God, we should be willing to give in to the thing that is best for the family. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. And I think of Christianity, maybe some of you in your own minds can think of congregations that have split over stuff that could have been fixed if they had just got together and had a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of understanding. Everything could have been cleared up and the church would have moved on and done their work. You can read those other passages. I'm going to go on. In a family, there is a place of identity. God wants us to know who we are. If you were asked, who are you? What makes you different? Sometimes we'd answer, the family I belong to. We have a crew in our family that's done a lot of work on our family tree. We're going to cut some of the limbs off, but they're still a part of the family, I'm afraid. We can't do away with some of the family tree we found. But most of us, we're proud to be a Christian. The name you wear, Christ, Christian, we're in the family of God. The talents that we have, God gave those to me. The principles we live by, those things are all important to us. And that's what God offers us as a member of his family. A name. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. God wants us to realize that we are his children. We're his children. If we're really the family of God, we are God's children. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We can't help what family we're born into or how many limbs we like to saw off of our family tree in the physical world. But a Christian is God's child. And we can be proud of that, no matter what our physical circumstances are. In a family, we find security. God wants us to feel secure in his family. We want our children to feel secure. We want them to be safe. I can't believe Becky let me take Casey. She hadn't let me yet, but week after next, we're going to take a trip to Europe. Well, I had certain restrictions that Becky put down, and I had to find, I had to sign a contract. And if I didn't do all those things, I wasn't taking her daughter anywhere. She wants her to be safe. She wants her to be secure. I do too. And God wants us to be secure. Sadly, many supposed Christian homes are far from what God intends them to be. If we haven't raised our children up to know God with our heart, you notice he said, with all your heart and soul and might. He wants us to teach our children how to love our Father and to become a child of our Father. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. He wants us to take care of our children's physical needs, but also he wants us to take care of their spiritual needs. And he wants us as a family to take care of our spiritual needs. What profit is it to a man if he goes to every church service and loses his own soul, sings every word of every song that we sing, listens to all, and even takes notes during Patriarch Sin's speech, and loses his soul? It's not worth anything. God offers us security for our soul. I'm on 9. I'm going to try to get through here in a couple minutes. In a family tree, in a family, there is acceptance. We are to accept one another. It doesn't mean we accept what people do that is wrong, but we accept people in matters of judgment and weakness of faith and immaturity. We must have an attitude of acceptance. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I think of the prodigal son. He was a member of the family, and his brother goes off in a terrible situation, comes back home, and he's rejected by his brother, who his father has given everything. He says, son, you have everything. You ought to be happy that your brother is back. He came home. He's in a good place. That's the way we ought to be with each other. Anybody in here not made a mistake? Anybody in here not done things that are wrong that you're ashamed of? I doubt it. We're supposed to accept each other. We're supposed to help each other to become stronger. Number 10, y'all can clap. No. In a family, we find comfort. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Therefore, God's family should be a place where we find comfort. No matter what's going on around us, sometimes the world treats us bad, and we're very uncomfortable in the world in which we live. In God's family, among this family, there should be care and concern and comfort. God wants us to take care of his children. Have you ever thought that that brother, that sister sitting beside you in the pew is God's son, God's daughter, your brother, your sister, but God's child? And we're to help them. We're to help each other. We're to comfort one another. This is the last. It's two slides. That's all. I got a few more after that, but that's all I'm going to do. The Christian family is a place of expectations, forgiveness, encouragement, discipline, support, resolution, identity, security, acceptance, and comfort. That's what we need to be teaching our children. That's the kind of families they need to grow up in. God's family, the church, is a place of expectations. God has expectations for you. God has forgiveness for you, for me. He wants us to understand that times are going to be tough and that we need encouragement. But sometimes we need to be disciplined because we don't do things the right way. God needs to feel like He can discipline us. He wants to support us in tough times. He wants us to resolve our differences, not selfishly, but when we think of the family. He wants us to have an identity, a Christian identity. He wants us to know that we are His. Security, safe. If you die today, if I die tomorrow, everything's okay. We have security in Christ. Acceptance. We're to feel like we're accepted by those here. No matter what we do, I should feel that I can come and I can talk. I can get encouragement. I can get help from those that are in that family. And that we get comfort when we have things that go wrong. When people get sick, when people in our family may die. We need to be comforted because we know there are people that love us and that care for us. So that's my lesson. 10 points. I don't know that. I don't think I've ever done it before. 10 points. Whew. Aren't you glad it's over? It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be a member of this congregation or any congregation that belongs to Christ. If you're not a member of God's family, there's a way to be a member. If you want to live for Christ, if you want to change your life, if you want to put on Him as your Savior, you can be baptized in the right way, with the right mind set on becoming a member of the family of God. You can do that today or anytime. If you need a prayer, or you need to express something to this group, this opportunity is yours right now. So I'm asking you, while Matt stands and leads this song, if you need to come forward for any reason, come while we all stand together and sing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful world.